psychology to come into play. We need to look at these behavioral practices and deal with it from that level as well. We've been chatting to Richard Shambara. Richard is a lecturer of management and entrepreneurship at the Tshwane University of Technology. Thank you so much for your time, Richard.
Thank you, Lee.
You can find out more. I'll give you those details. But listen, it's more important, I think, to give you this. Here's a website, www.corruptionwatch.org.za. You can SMS 45142. Those SMSs are charged at 1 rand per SMS. That's for corruptionwatch.org.za. That is where, if a police officer is giving you trouble or any officer, that is where you report them to, please. Crime Line is always there for you. 32211. 32211. And then there's the Justice Project. 081-208-6682. These services are all there to report corruption. This is what LeaderSay is all about. Tomorrow is our second birthday. Please, LeaderSay, even if you've paid the bribe, do the right thing now and report it so that we can stop this cycle. It's 3 o'clock.
This is Eyewitness News.
Good afternoon, I'm Tara Meany. Education MECs have thrown their full support behind Minister Angie Motshekga and have dismissed media criticism of her in the wake of in the Limpopo textbook crisis as unfair. The Council of Education Ministers met with all the provincial education executives in Pretoria today, Deputy Basic Education Minister and Council Chair Enver Sirti.
The Council of Education Ministers noted with deep disappointment unwarranted media attacks on the basic education sector, in particular on the character of Minister Angie Motshekga.
He says the department has acknowledged the Limpopo problem and has put measures in place to solve it.
To drag the entire sector to the limitation and gaps of Limpopo is unfair, particularly in view of the fact that the presidential task team is still probing the causes of the problem and will shortly report to the president.
South Africa has clinched a third gold medal at the London Games, this time for rowing in the men's lightweight fours. The latest gold puts South Africa eighth on the medals table. The last time South Africa won three gold medals post-isolation was in Atlanta in 1996. Mark Lewis has more from London.
It was the most dramatic of finishers in the lightweight fours as Team South Africa collected their third gold medal of the Games. James Thompson, Lawrence and Glover, Matt Britton and John Smith came from behind to steal the race and win gold ahead of Great Britain and Denmark in a surprise move. And what a fantastic day it's been so far for Team SA on the water. Mark Lewis, Eyewitness News, London.
The SA rowing team's medal adds to gold secured earlier this week by swimmers Cameron van den Berg and Chad Leclos. The opposition to Urban Tolling Alliance says holding the final e-tolling review in late November will give all sides enough time to prepare for the last legal battle. The alliance secured an interdict against the controversial project in April, but is due to defend it in the Constitutional Court in 2 weeks' time. Government says it will present its case in court, but is relieved the matter is finally coming to a head. Alex Yelisev has more.
The opposition to Urban Tolling Alliance's Wayne Duvenage says they're ready for the final chapter.
That is the big matter. That is where the crux of the matter is going to be unfolded in court.
Government's Thabo Masebe says they won't go into the merits of the case now, but will present their side in court.
They're relieved that there will be certainty with regard to the part of the review.
While the interdict issues about whether the tolls can operate while the court battle drags on, the review will test whether the project makes economic sense and whether any rules were broken during its inception. Alex Elisev, Eyewitness News.
A forensic cell phone investigator from the police is now corroborating the evidence of a Vodacom expert mapping the movements of the alleged Sunday rapist during the days on which he allegedly attacked his victims. Cell phone records show Johannes Steyn was in the vicinity of various crime scenes in at least 10 cases. He's pleaded not guilty to 37 charges, including 2 murders and 11 rapes. Andrea van Wyk has more from the Palm Ridge Magistrates Court.
Johannes Steyn has written pages of notes on the detailed testimony of Vodacom forensic cell phone expert Pieter Heineke, as well as a presentation by police officer Andre Nietling. Heineke provided documentary evidence showing one or more of Steyn's cell phones place him in the areas where 10 of his alleged victims were attacked. Nietling, using a mapping computer program, has created a timeline from this data, plotting Steyn's movements on the various days. 2 of Steyn's other alleged victims were due to testify today, but it appears their phone numbers have changed and the prosecution has been unable to reach them. Andrea van Wyk, Eyewitness News, Palm Ridge.
Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Justice and Constitutional Development is expected to finish its deliberations on the Protection of Personal Information Bill later today. It's the country's first piece of legislation that comprehensively deals with the processing of personal information. Catherine Rice reports.
The bill sets out conditions for the processing of personal information. An independent regulator will be established to monitor whether these conditions have been followed. ANC MP John Jeffrey says South Africans will no longer have to put up with a tidal wave of unsolicited SMSs and emails. He says once the bill is passed, advertisers and businesses will only be allowed to approach individuals once, and they'll have to opt in to receive further communication. DA MP Dean Smuts says personal information is very vulnerable in South Africa, and abuse is happening on a disturbing scale. MPs processing the bill are hopeful that it will be passed into law by the end of this year. Catherine Rice, Eyewitness News, Parliament.
And a quick cricket update. In the second test between South Africa and England, the Proteas are 102 without loss after lunch. Gold is now trading at $1,599.61 an ounce. The rand's at 8.34 to the dollar, 12.99 to the pound, and 10.19 to the euro. Brent crude oil's at $106.74 a barrel.
Traffic news in Centurion. There's a 20-minute delay on the N14 north between the N1 Brakfontein interchange and Jean Avenue due to roadworks. And in Joburg, Fairland, traffic lights at Bayes Nodia and the N1 are out of order.
It's a fine day in Gauteng. The temperatures have peaked at highs between 17 and 21 degrees. The top story in Eyewitness News of this hour, education MECs have thrown their full support behind Minister Angie Motshekga and have dismissed media criticism of her in the wake of the Limpopo textbook crisis as unfair.
Eyewitness News. In touch, in tune, and independent. For the latest, log on to ewn.co.za or ewn.mobi. Your family, your community, your country, your responsibility. Be the best citizen you can be. Lead SA. This is Talk Radio 702, your number one news and talk station.
6 minutes past 3 o'clock, Lee, Benny in for Jenny this afternoon and for the rest of the week and Monday, so the next 3 days. It's Q&A time, which is always a fun time. I love getting answers to all the questions that we have. And we're having a themed Q&A this afternoon, a themed Q&A about a little thing called leptin. A little thing called leptin. Maybe you've heard the word leptin, maybe you haven't. Do you know what leptin is? Well, I was wondering about leptin when I heard about, and somebody said to me at one stage, you know, oh, you should check your leptin if you're trying to lose weight. And I couldn't understand why. And then in conversation, it came up once again. Somebody else said, you know, if you've been doing all the right things and you're still struggling to lose weight, it might be that you're leptin resistant. And I said, you mean insulin resistant? And they said, no, leptin resistant. And I thought, okay, what is this leptin thing? And so often on the medical show, we look at obesity. It is becoming such an enormous problem internationally, of course, but here in South Africa. And because it is such a problem and our obesity numbers are growing, we're also seeing growing problems like hypertension and diabetes and other cardiovascular diseases. And as a result, we need to get the weight under control. Is there something about this leptin that is keeping us chubby? Is there something that we need to know? I wanted to know more. And so we have a themed Q&A this afternoon. Paula Galvao joins me in studio at the moment. Paula is the founder of Eden Life Weight Loss Clinic, and she's here to talk to us about leptin, but I mean more broadly, of course, she's going to put it into context for us. So thank you for coming into studio, Paula. Thanks. Nice to have you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So we look at obesity. We talk about obesity. Obesity, I mean, you can't pick up a magazine or tune into a radio station and not find something about obesity, because it is such a big problem for us here in South Africa and indeed around the world. So in your opinion, what is the cause? What is really the problem? Are we eating the wrong stuff?
Well, yes, we are eating the wrong stuff. And yes, our lifestyle has changed. And yes, our culture has an enormous amount to do with it. And of course, we are all couch potatoes and we love sitting in front of the TV and drinking our cool drinks. But, you know, that's not all that has to do with it. There are a number of causes for obesity. And whether we look at it from an insulin resistance point of view, from a leptin resistance point of view, whether we look at the various hormonal imbalances that people have, the neurotransmitters that cause it, or even the psychological problems that cause obesity, we need to know that there are a number of reasons that people are overweight. It's really not just because of a lack of willpower. No one in the world wants to be fat and overweight. I mean, people even loathe to hear the word fat. But the fact of the matter is that there are a number of biochemical reasons that people are overweight. And if we look specifically at leptin as one of the reasons that people are overweight, we focus in on that word leptin. And that comes from the Greek word, our dear Greek friends, from the Greek word called leptos, which means thin. And leptin is responsible for regulating the intensity of your appetite. So if you are voraciously hungry all day, if you arrive home and you suddenly want to eat everything in the fridge, there's more than likely a problem with your leptin. It also controls the speed of your metabolism. So, and it's controlled, Lee, by your brown fat cells. Now, that very often surprises people when I say that. But we have two kinds of fat. You have brown fat and white fat. It's fat and wet, brown adipose tissue and white adipose tissue. And your brown fat is the kind of fat that you actually really want, because brown fat is responsible for burning fat. It burns white fat, and white fat is the kind of fat that stores fat. Now, brown, you have very, very little brown fat. In fact, only 0.5% to 5% of your fatty tissue is made up of brown fat.
I thought you were just being discriminatory there. Okay.
Well, absolutely. The brown fat is the kind of fat we really, really want. And if we could get most of South Africans to have more brown fat, we really wouldn't have a problem. And in fact, in South Africa, we have a huge problem. We have a problem where 50% of women in South Africa are overweight and 30% of men are overweight, and a huge 20% of our children are overweight. So we really need to increase our brown fat percentages. And if we actually lose 1% of our brown fat and keep everything else constant, someone like you or I would gain 15 kilos in 10 years.
Wait a minute. Okay, now you need to go over that again. So we think losing fat is good. You're saying it depends on the type, because if we lose even 1% of brown fat, we would gain about 15 kilos in 10 years.
That's exactly right. And brown fat is responsible for manufacturing leptin. And leptin is what keeps your metabolism functioning optimally. Now, if you lose your brown fat and you decrease your leptin, your entire metabolic rate just crashes and your appetite goes through the roof.
Okay.
And that's
so
why
now,
it's so
before
important.
People like Lebel behind the desk here get all excited, brown people don't have brown fat and white people don't have white fat. We've both got both.
Unfortunately, fortunately for you and I, we all have the same amount of brown and white fat.
And just out of interest, do men have more brown fat? Because they just seem to burn stuff quicker, no?
No, that's actually not the reason why men burn stuff quicker. Men burn quicker because they have more testosterone, which increases muscle formation, and that's why men burn quicker. But you'll find that, you know, your very lean, thin size 6 woman has more or less 5% total fat, brown fat, and your more obese woman would have 0.5% total fat, brown fat. And one of the key factors in maintaining weight, once someone has lost a large amount of weight, one of the key factors in being able to maintain your weight is to ensure that your brown fat content has increased.
But how do we do that?
Well, there are a number of ways of doing that. And firstly, the way you lose weight is critically important in ensuring that you are able to increase your brown fat percentage. And then there are a number of supplements that are responsible for that. But we'll come back to that when we discuss.
Yeah, I don't want to get too far ahead, because it brings us back, or rather to bring us back to the leptin side of things. I mean, you were talking about several biochemical things that could go wrong in the body. Mm-hmm. So it is our fat makeup that we want to be looking at. The leptin you were speaking about. What are some of the other biochemical factors that come into play?
Okay, well, the hormonal factors play a big role. But if I can just explain to you a little bit, Lee, just so that we can focus in on that leptin, what actually happens when you're leptin resistant? When you're not leptin resistant and your body fat percentage normally increases, what will happen is that your fat cells will enlarge and your body will release leptin. And this leptin is carried then to your brain. Your brain now picks up that your fat percentage has gone up, and it normally just decreases your appetite and gets you to increase your activity level.
So your weight, I'm full.
That's it. I'm full, I don't want to eat more, and your weight remains constant. But in people who are leptin resistant, what will happen is that when the leptin goes to the brain doesn't pick up that the leptin is there. So they don't get this decreased appetite. They can eat and eat and eat, but never get full. And they don't get the signal to increase activity. So they never feel full. They don't want to exercise. You'll notice that people who are obese don't really want to go gymming, don't want to go for a run around the block. And it's a biochemical imbalance that causes that. It's not a lack of energy or lack of discipline. And so they carry on eating, and as a result, the weight gain comes.
How do we tell the difference? Because I hear what you're saying, but if you look at, for example, emotional eaters, they're the same. They're not actually listening to the cues from the brain, but also when you've eaten too much, you feel lethargic, so then you don't feel like exercising. So there's that. It's almost the same symptoms. How do you tell the difference between that and leptin resistance?
Yeah, now that's such an excellent question. If you know, there are fractional differences between leptin resistance, insulin resistance, hormonal eating, psychological eating. Now, if you had to compare the three, so let's look at insulin resistance. A person who is insulin resistant would typically present with high cholesterol. They'd have a high blood pressure. If it's a lady, they'd present with polycystic ovarian syndrome. So they'd battle falling pregnant. They'd have painful periods. They'd have a history of sleepiness through the day, depression possibly. They'd have a typical pear shape. So they'd gain fat around the hips, the thigh, the belly, that be quite forgetful, and they're moody if their meals are late, and that's quite a strong yes. So all men would be insulin resistantly, I'm sure you agree,
and premenstrual women.
but if you're leptin resistant, what happens then is you present with uncontrollable sugar cravings and very typically late night eating. That's a telltale sign of leptin resistant. Oy. And you also get a tremendous amount of weight gain around the belly.
Okay, so that's that. All right, that tire.
Exactly, the tire. And that's typical of leptin resistant. Now, if there's stress eating, it's a very different kind of phenomenon. With stress eating, what happens is we have three kinds of stress hormones. That's adrenaline, cortisol, and corticotropin releasing hormone.
Big words, adrenaline, cortisol,
and corticotropin releasing hormone.
Mm-hmm.
They all work together. Now, what happens is when you're stressed, your adrenal glands at the top of your kidneys get triggered, and that causes the release of cortisol. As soon as your body picks up that you have had cortisol being released, you have a hormone called neuropeptide Y being released. Now, that is a very, very potent appetite-increasing hormone. In fact, in studies, when they fed that hormone to mice, the mice would eat and eat and eat until they just burst.
So, sorry, can I just, the reason that you are using all these big words and you know all this stuff, by the way, Paula is a pharmacist by profession. That's
yes.
What you're trained as. That is what, how you started all of this.
Correct, yes.
Okay, so this is how she knows all of this. Okay, continue. Okay.
So, what we do is when you're stressed, your neuropeptide Y gets stimulated and you get increasingly hungry. And that causes you to trigger a craving in your brain. Now, when you crave, and if it's a stress-induced craving, there are three things that basically you would want, Lee, and those are, it's either wheat, milk, barley, or corn, if we ignore the alcohol side of things.
Wheat, milk, barley, corn?
Mm.
I'm not going to disagree with you.
So, and the way one could control that is by reverting to low-fat milk or fat-free milk, because we find that if it's a stress-induced craving, by having the fat-free milk, you take care of the craving and you don't gain the weight. And then the obvious ways of decreasing the cortisol in that case would be with there's certain supplements that you can take, very natural supplements, things like acetyl L-carnitine or vitamin C. These are all available at your health shop or pharmacy, and they will help with reducing the cortisol and stopping that trigger reaction.
Okay. For me, one of the things that Paula said that's going to stick with me now is looking at the difference, because I've never known, and I think a lot of us have this problem. When we're overweight, there's the guilt that's associated with it. It's my fault.
That's right.
This is my fault. And because we don't eat, none of us eat as well as we should, except for people who are, you know, crazy about this sort of thing, and perhaps unhealthily so. That's as far as we look. Not I'm a little bit naughty and I don't deserve this much of a reaction, but the late night eating versus with the emotional eating when it's actually a stressed time.
Correct.
Okay? Most of us are not super stressed late at night. That's not when the stress is hitting us. So if you're doing lots of late night eating, maybe you should stop beating yourself up and look at what's happening inside your body. Maybe it's not all your fault. We've got a themed Q&A this afternoon. Paul is here to answer your questions. She is the founder of Eden Life Weight Loss Clinic. So this is what she does. She looks at what might be happening inside our bodies to, just so you understand, this is what Paula does, but she's also a pharmacist, which is why she looks at the biochemical imbalances, and that's why we've called on her to talk to us about leptin and leptin resistance. Any questions that you have, please phone us on 011-883-0702. SMS questions to 31702.
The Midday Report, weekdays at noon.
What's happening on the JSE? Record high last night, record high on Monday. We gave it all back on Tuesday. Record high last night, record intraday high today. All looks a bit frothy to me, but let's get an expert's opinion. Paul Tron is equity asset manager from Vestact.
Chris, I don't think you should be worried. I think the problem here is that this conversation is too macro.
Chris Gibbons, The Midday Report, only on Talk Radio 702, Talk Radio. Your number one news and talk station.
Cispro, it's like having the best all-rounder on your team. Cispro is the leading independent international supplier of enterprise business solutions, providing complete control over the planning and management of all facets of your business operations in a variety of industries. The system is quick to implement and comes with expert support. Visit cispro.com or call 0861-CISPRO. That's 0861-79-7776. Cispro, simplifying your success.
The all-new South African Tattoo returns to Monte Casino with over 800 sensational local and international performers. The 2012 South African Tattoo. 4 nights only from the 6th of September. Seats are limited, so hurry and book now at CompuTicket.
In the spotlight this week on Talk Radio 702, beware of Ponzi or pyramid schemes. A message brought to you by the South African Reserve Bank. A pyramid con artist will offer you the chance to make quick money, often by selling something. You pay a joining fee, buy the product, and then sell it. They'll tell you that the more people you get to sell for you, the more money you'll make. Don't be a victim. Report suspected illegal deposit-taking schemes. Call 0800-677-772 or SMS your anonymous tip-off to 32211. SMS is charged at 1 Rand.
Talk Radio 702.
702.
Your number one news and talk station on 92.7 and 106 FM. Call us now on 011-883-0702.
Paula Gilbert is in studio with me this afternoon. Paula is the founder of Eden Life Weight Loss Clinic. She's also a pharmacist by training. She's here talking to us about leptin or leptin resistance. That is our themed Q&A, although I'm kind of betwixt in between, because whilst we want to find out all about leptin, and that is why she's here, I do know people have so many weight loss questions, and I'm loath to shut that conversation down, because if that's what help you want, well, who am I? So we'll see how the conversation goes and where we take it. Your calls and questions are very welcome, though. Armando, good afternoon.
Hi, is that Paula?
Well, this is Lee, but that's Paula. Hi, she's right here.
Hi, Armando.
Hi, man. Very fascinating. I've been in the gym industry for the best part of 30 years, and I get this question all the time. I can't lose weight. I don't know what to do, etc. I've never done any sort of studying as far as nutrition is concerned, but what I can say is that after almost 30 years, I have an enormous amount of experience when it comes to this weight loss story. And I've tried on many clients, and I'm telling you now, I must be more than 100. And I finally came down to something. I felt that if you lived on, say, chicken, lean pork, possibly a fillet now and again, that type of food, then you can never get fat, because it's like saying you can convert diamonds to gold or gold to water, which you can't do. So my first question to you was, if at 11 o'clock at night you had this urge to eat and you ate a boiled chicken, for example,
you're talking protein.
Would you still pick up? Yeah, so, well, chicken being a protein, would you still pick up weight? And then the other thing that I found was sometimes people would come to me who weigh 170 or 180 kilograms, and I told them, before I'm going to start your weight loss goodie, I want you to first go home and for the next month write down everything that you eat, as and when, date, time, etc. And I found that in 90% of the people who've been like really overweight or that extra, or sometimes just even a little bit, like 7 or 8 kilos, I found that a major part of their diet across the board over all these years was dairy, whether it was low fat, high fat, no fat, yogurt this, yogurt that. Okay. I found that that was a problem. And then often when I would do these trials, I would say to someone, could you do me a favor and carry with you lean biltong, for example, and late at night, lean biltong, and try for me just for the next 4 weeks to stay off the dairy. I'm not saying it's the healthiest thing in the world, but stay off the dairy. On average, on average, depending on the size of the person, they are losing in a month, just by getting off the dairy, between 6 and 12 kilograms.
Okay, Armando, I want to stop you for two reasons. Because number one, as a woman who's tried a lot of things, I'm always nervous about that, which will help you lose weight, but that might not be balanced and ultimately healthy. But I want to go back to the first thing which Armando mentioned, which is incredibly important, and that is the relationship of the different food groups. He was talking about proteins, which ultimately sounds like at the expense of carbohydrates. He didn't mention fruits and vegetables.
Yeah. Lee, you know what? There isn't a one-size-fits-all when it comes to weight loss. I think each patient needs to be assessed on their own merit. Firstly, if you had to just go with eating huge amounts of biltong and you have a gout situation or a cholesterol situation, you really would exacerbate that. And that's one thing that one needs to look at when it comes to weight loss. And when it comes to the patient's benefit, you have to work together as a team with the patient's doctor. Together, each achieves more. And that's really our philosophy at Eden Life. The other thing is, looking specifically at the protein, one of the interesting factors when it applies to insulin resistance, leptin resistance, stress eating, is that when you follow a protein-rich diet, and I'm not saying a protein-only diet, but specifically a protein-rich diet, is protein-rich diets trigger the release of glucagon, and that causes fat burning. It also triggers the release of growth hormone, which causes muscle formation. So in someone who's trying to lose weight, that really is a benefit. And that also opposes the release of insulin, so it lowers your insulin, so it increases your serotonin levels. So someone who's stress eating, having your serotonin levels go up, that in fact helps you quite significantly.
Give me that one again, sorry.
Okay.
Because that's important, right. If we're stress eating.
Okay. If you're stress eating and you follow a protein-rich diet,
yeah. What
will happen is, because it triggers glucagon release, glucagon is a hormone which opposes insulin. So that automatically brings your insulin down, and a rebound reaction to bringing your insulin levels down is your serotonin goes up.
And it makes us happy.
It makes us happy, exactly, absolutely. And as you feel happy, you feel calmer as well, and that will decrease stress eating.
Is there any downside to bringing those insulin levels down?
No, because they certainly wouldn't go
ridiculously low.
Absolutely. I've never seen that in 16 years of practice. Have I seen a patient whose insulin levels are too low?
Okay. Okay.
So
then the other thing that came up there with Armando was dairy.
Yes.
Such a thing as a big bad wolf when it comes to food groups?
No, absolutely not. In fact, you know, what one might find is a specific patient may be sensitive to yogurt, in which case you would have to rather have fat-free milk. Studies done at the University of Illinois have conclusively shown that patients who have a high intake of fat-free milk lose weight faster than patients who don't. And, I mean, this study has been repeated again and again. It's been proven again and again. Now, to cut out dairy from your diet worries me from a calcium intake. You get bone degeneration. I think really one needs to look at it holistically and, you know, follow a balanced eating plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So some of us eat too much of one thing, but cutting it out entirely, you're saying?
Yes. Even cutting out carbohydrates entirely is a problem. You know, one has... And even with specifically with leptin resistance, so you follow a moderately high protein diet and you cut out carbohydrates completely, what will happen is you will reach a plateau, because as you lose weight, your fat cells will be decreasing the amount of leptin they release. And one of the key ways that you can now trigger weight loss again is by now following a high carbohydrate diet once a week. Because that will now fool your fat cells into thinking that they're now going to get food, your leptin levels go up again, and your brain doesn't trigger that you're going to be dieting again.
Don't worry. I'm going to make Paula say that all again when we get to that part of the plateauing, because I think it's important. Owen's on the line now, though. Hi, Owen.
Hi.
Hi.
I would like to know how one tests one's leptin levels and what do you take to increase them, and... Can you have a case where you have too much leptin?
Ah, good one. Okay, how do we test leptin?
Okay, Owen, leptin is tested by testing uncoupling protein 3. It's a blood test that you do. Supplements which you can take to increase your leptin would be things like green tea, L-carnitine, coenzyme Q10, borage oil.
Do you suggest this, though?
These will help for someone who, you know, has no other way, but really a holistic plan is advised, you know, so I would go with the eating. Eating correctly?
I need to contextualize that. Mm. If you've had a blood test and it comes back that you are leptin resistant, then these are things that you can do. What I'm saying is, I'm just hearing you throwing out names and I'm seeing people going, who needs a blood test? This is going to help me lose weight. I'm going to start taking.
No. You know, the first